Hello and welcome to the Parish Podcast. The sermon you're about to hear was delivered at the Parish in Alpharetta, Georgia, and is meant to be heard within the context of our local church community. So, if you've never been to the Parish, you're missing a really big piece of the puzzle. We'd love to welcome you to join us anytime, and you can find more information or contact us by visiting our website at parishanglican.org. We are in week three of a four-week series. So if you're just joining us, I'm glad you're here, and we're going to kind of recap a little bit so you can catch up. But I really encourage you to go back over the last 2 weeks and listen back to what we've talked about for these last 2 weeks of this series. You can find it on our website or on our podcast. But these weeks all belong together, and they're really important. Formation, the idea of formation, is a word that you'll hear about at the Parish quite a bit, because formation is one of our core values. It's one of the things that we're most passionate about here. You may have heard that word used differently growing up. Like, people may have talked about discipleship or what it means to grow. Basically, what we're discussing is, what does it mean to grow in our relationship with Jesus? What does it mean to actually start our life with Jesus in one place and end up somewhere else, to try and walk through the process of learning how to grow to be more like him? And so we're talking about, how does all that stuff happen? And I asked last week if you had thoughts or questions or feedback to let me know. And some of you graciously did. So thank you for that. And one of the questions that I heard that was really important, that was coming up the most, is, this stuff sounds important and it's kind of teaching-y, so it's easy to get lost in it, but why does it matter? Why does this stuff really matter to, like, everyday life, me, who's going to wake up tomorrow and go to work and go through my life? And so I want to talk about that for just a moment before we continue on. And what it made me think of was, go with me on this. It made me think of back in April 23rd of 1985, here in the city of Atlanta, there was a monumental decision that was made on April 23rd, 1985. The world's most global, recognizable, loved, endearing brand, Coca-Cola, home here in our great city of Atlanta, decided on April 23rd that it would be a great idea to change the formula of Coca-Cola. Does anyone remember this? Do you remember? Yes. So they introduced a product to the world called what? New Coke. Happened on April 23rd, 1985. And Coca-Cola, this wasn't a whim. I mean, they had done their research. They had done thousands of interviews and taste tests. And they just said, wow, we need to get a leg up. We're going to shake this up. And the thought was that this was going to be amazing, and it was going to re-inspire people, and it was going to encourage people to drink Coca-Cola. And what happened was a complete pandemonium outrage all around the world. And remember, this is before social media, before email, before the web. This is when people wrote letters and called call centers. And all of a sudden, around the world, everybody's mad. Everybody's mad. Because this formula that was it was the thing that people loved. People knew the taste of a Coke. People knew the sound of a Coke when you open a Coke. People knew the smell of a Coke, and people loved that formula, and they changed it. And within 79 days, Coca-Cola finally stood up and said, okay, we made a major mistake, and they rolled it back, and they reintroduced Coca-Cola Classic, and the world kind of breathed a sigh of relief. But imagine if they had not done that. Can you imagine that? What if today we'd be sitting here without Coca-Cola? What if that company had completely imploded just because somewhere along the way they switched out the formula? And the thing that I want us to understand in this four-week series is that the reason why this is so important in your life and in my life is because there has been, from the very beginning of life with Jesus, there has been a way that he has wanted us to grow. There's been a goal that he's been drawing us towards. And somewhere along the way, whether you know it or not, for most of us, the brand of Christianity that we've been told about, the way of following Jesus that we've been taught in our lives, someone switched the formula and they didn't even tell us about it. Because if you look back, if you think about this scripture that we read today, it's Jesus in his last moments before he goes to the cross, sitting with his closest followers and saying, listen, here's what's about to happen. I'm about to leave, and I have much, much more to say to you. so much more. You would have thought that 3 years of following Jesus and Jesus teaching them everything about life and how to treat people and all the miracles and all the love and compassion that he's shown, you would have thought that the message Jesus said to his disciples was, hey guys, you're ready. It's time for your graduation and then you're going to head out. But no, he says, I've got so much more to tell you, more than you can now bear. You're not even going to be able to understand it if I tell you right now, but I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. And through the process of learning to listen to the Holy Spirit, you're actually going to grow more and more in love with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit to the place where you're going to do even greater things than me. Jesus is telling his followers, this totally ragtag, blue-collar, fishermen, tax collectors, down-and-out people, you, because of your personal relationship with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you're going to do greater things than me. And the crazy thing is they did. They fell in love with the person of Jesus. And even after he was not physically present on the earth anymore, they continued to listen and be empowered by the Holy Spirit to the point where their lives were so radically changed and so completely different that thousands of people looked at that little group of people and said, whatever they're doing, whatever they're following, whatever it is that they've decided to give their lives to, I'm in. Whether it costs me everything, if it means I have to die, if it means I have to give up what's most precious to me, if it means my relationships are challenged, if it means I lose my business, whatever it is, I'm in. That was what it looked like to follow Jesus. Fast forward to today. And if you ask people what they think of Christians, it doesn't sound like that, does it? It kind of sounds like what people did when they responded to New Coke, which was just kind of like, eh, maybe. And if we're honest, if we look around, maybe not this room, okay, let's not say that about one another in the room, but if we look around at Christians in our life, when we look at what their lives look like, we kind of just go, eh, maybe. In fact, one of the most recent studies on what people actually think of Christians when they hear the word Christians, they came up with 6 words. The 6 most common indicators were this: hypocritical, uncaring, anti-homosexual, sheltered, too political, judgmental. Eh, why would you want that? Why would you want to sign up to be a part of that community? Because somewhere along the way, the formula got switched. And the idea became, for many of us, the idea became that Christianity is all about eternal life. That's all it is. It's just about finding eternal life for one day in the great beyond. And instead, what it's always been about from the very beginning is not just eternal life, it's been about eternal living, as Dallas Willard put it. Eternal living is when we don't just wait for heaven, but because of the love of Jesus and our relationship with him, the life of heaven is lived out in our daily lives today. And we look so different and so transformed that people look at our lives and say, whatever it is you're doing, I'm in. And it's not because we work real hard, and it's not because of our effort, and it's not because we're so exhausted. It becomes more and more natural, more and more effortless, more and more free, more and more joyful. That's what I want for you. That's what I want for your life. That your life would be so radically transformed that people would look at you and say, there is something so different about that person. And not just different, but completely endearing. I want to spend more time with that person. I want to be around them because when I'm with them, I feel like I'm with Jesus. That's what I want for you. And so what we've talked about, the way that we framed it, is that the goal is not just salvation. The goal is loving union with God. That's what God wants for each and every one of us. That we become so united and so absolutely in love with Jesus that we make every decision in our lives with his love flowing through us. And we become more and more joyful and peaceful in the process. Last week, we talked about the fact that if loving union with God is the goal, we said, well, how do we get there? And we realized that this journey happens in stages. There are some distinct stages that we can see as a pattern. We see it in the scriptures, but we also just see it carried out in the lives of Christians for centuries. There's stages in the journey with Jesus. And the first stage, we said, is the looking stage, where we haven't made a commitment, we haven't signed on the dotted line, we kind of understand God, we're cool with God, but we wonder about Jesus, we kind of stand back and watch him and just say, who is this guy? I'm intrigued, but I'm not really ready to commit anything yet, and that's okay. If you're there today, I'm really glad you're here, and God has brought you to that stage in your journey for a very specific reason today. And then for many of us, you move from the looking stage and we've taken a step forward and we've moved into the learning stage. And in the learning stage, what we said is this is where we begin to learn about Jesus. We cross over a line where we say, okay, I think I'm going to place some trust in Jesus. And we begin to learn who he is and who God the Father is and how this world that he's created is designed to work. And we learn more about ourselves. And we learn more about the way that he made us and the ways that we've rebelled and run from him. And we learn about how to pull those things together. What are the practices and habits that we can learn in our lives to help us begin to match up with his kingdom? We move from the looking stage into the learning stage. And our goal in talking about these different stages is just to simply try and find ourselves in the story. We talked about those first stages last week. We're going to talk about two more this week. And again, I'm going to say this, and this is really important. This is not to judge you. This is not so that you can look at this and go, oh my gosh, I'm so far behind. That's not what this process is about. This is to simply find ourselves in the story and realize that wherever you are in the journey, you're exactly where you're supposed to be. And there's always a step to move closer to the heart of Jesus. For most of us, the learning stage in our journey with Jesus, as we move from the looking to the learning stage, in the Christianity that we grew up with and the formula that we were handed, that was it. That was the pinnacle. That was the highest height of what it means to be a Christian, is you place your faith in Jesus and then you learn, study, learn, study, learn, study. If you have a question, learn, study, learn, study. If you have a challenge in your life that you can't get over or a habit that you can't break, learn and study, learn and study. And if you're not necessarily an academic type or if you're not a good reader, sorry, you're out of luck. Learn and study, learn and study. That's it. And what we've been told is, yes, your salvation is guaranteed. Wonderful, hooray. Learn and study until you die. And that's been the pattern of Christianity. And for some of us, we've seen people that we've looked at and just said, oh my goodness, they are spiritual giants because they were wired that way to learn so much about the Lord and learn about his word and learn incredible truths in scripture. And you say, I don't know that that's ever going to be me. And so I hope this encourages you, because learning and studying is not the end of the journey. There's more to the journey. Because for many of us, when we get to that learning stage and we move through that learning stage for a while, there comes a problem in our lives, if we're honest. For many of us, at some point, we hit a place called the wall. And I didn't create this. This is language I'm borrowing from The Critical Journey by Hagberg and Gellick. The wall is a place that we get to in our lives when we've been learning more about God, more about ourselves, more about how to live in this world. And we've been climbing and climbing and ascending as we gain more and more knowledge about Jesus. And all of a sudden, we feel like all of that stops and we're not really getting anywhere. And for some of us, we feel stuck. And for some of us, we feel like we're making progress, but the progress is just kind of revolving and we're never quite really moving forward. And when you're at the wall, previous disciplines that you used to use in your life, like ways that you studied the Bible and ways that you used to pray and maybe your small group or some of your accountability relationships, they don't work anymore. They kind of break down and they're not helping you make progress. And sometimes when we're at the wall, our life circumstances empty us of our confidence and our strength, and we can feel like we're stuck and we're powerless to move forward. Others of us don't necessarily feel like we're stuck. We just feel like we're moving through this kind of gray cloud that's really unknown. The wall is a really difficult place to be, because what you can see is as we go from the looking phase to the learning phase, we're climbing, we're learning, we're adding things. Things that we never knew to be true about God. Things that we never knew to be true about ourselves. Ways that we can live in this world. We're adding and adding and adding. And when we get to the wall, the Lord begins calling us to subtract. We're being called to let go of something. I'm really grateful for some of these indicators. Our friends at Ascending Leaders have helped us kind of put words around this to understand what the wall is all about. When we're at the wall, we sense the Lord calling us to let go of our dreams or our secrets or control or consumerism. That's a big one that maybe all of a sudden it surprises you and you say, oh my gosh, I didn't realize that was going to be so hard for me to let go of. Our family, our fears, our insecurities. At some point, we hit a very critical stage where we sense the Lord pointing to something and saying, it's time to let go of that. Some of the key indicators, if we're at this stage, are finding needs for healing and renewal. All of a sudden, we find these wounds in us that we never knew were there before. And we need to be healed and renewed in ways that we didn't understand. For some of us, we just get spiritually exhausted. We're just tired of the whole thing. We're ready to give up. We're at the end of our rope in many different ways, a crisis, maybe a season of doubt or confusion, or maybe it's kind of more positive, like it's a seeking for a new awareness of God. There's got to be something more to God than what I've experienced so far. And as we're in that season of being at the wall, we're being called to let go of our own ego and our own plans. And as we get to the wall, we can respond in a few different ways. Okay, and so there's several of us that are probably in this stage right now, and there's different ways that we can choose to respond. The first is we can push. We can just use all of our force and everything that we've learned in the learning phase. We can keep trying to learn and study and learn and study and keep trying to push through. Or we can walk away. We can just kind of give up, say it's not worth it. For some of us, we've given up and walked away, and we don't even know it because we just got busy. And instead of choosing to walk away, we allow the busyness of life to fill us up to where we don't even ask the questions anymore. So we can push, we can walk away, or we can surrender. We can experience a moment of decision where all of a sudden, somehow through God's love, he begins to change our hearts and we become a little bit less fearful because we know that he's actually leading us through this season instead of just making us stand in the middle of it. Now, few things to remember about this season of the wall, okay? It is not fun. It's not an enjoyable place to be. It's not a place where you look at and you go, oh man, that's where I wanna be. I wanna grow. That's the place that I really want to be standing in today. It's a really difficult season and you can't shortcut it. You can't bypass it. I can't give you a book. The thing that I'm really tempted to do in this series is to tell you, okay, now we're gonna roll out this incredible spiritual program and it's 6 weeks to get you through the wall. And so if that's where you are at the end of this 6 week journey, you're gonna be happy and everything's gonna change in your life, but that's not how it works. The Lord draws us through that season in his own time, in his own way, and we can't shortcut it. But there's something on the other side. There's another place that we can move in our relationship with God on the other side. And we're calling it the listening stage. And in the listening stage, as you can see, we quit climbing and we begin kind of descending. We begin falling. And from this point forward, it's less about trying harder and doing more and accomplishing more. And it's more about kind of releasing control and understanding how God's love can flow through us and things can be more and more effortless in this process. We begin the process of learning to listen. To trust not just the written word of God in very black and white sense, but to see that word of God come alive as the living word of God that is real and that is here and that wants to talk to you and wants to tell you the intricate details of how to walk forward in everyday life. Think about what Jesus said to his followers in that passage in John 16. His final message before he goes to die, and he's not saying, you're ready, it's time for you to go. He's saying, no. You're gonna go through a really difficult season. After I die and resurrect, you're gonna go through some really challenging times where you don't know which end is up. But I promise you that a day is coming when you're gonna learn things through the power of the Holy Spirit that you could never imagine. And you're gonna learn to listen. And you're gonna learn to follow. In the case of Peter, specifically, the Lord was kind of winking at him, I think, and saying, you're gonna learn the places that you're wrong and you don't even know you're wrong. And if I told you you were wrong, you would tell me I'm crazy. But you're going to learn to listen to the Holy Spirit, and he's going to begin to lovingly lead you through the process of growing closer to me. He said, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. Even with all their training and learning, there were things that Jesus wanted to teach them that they couldn't yet bear. During the listening stage, if you're kind of looking for ways to understand if this is where you are, during the listening stage, Jesus to us becomes a very close and active friend. Not just somebody we know, not just kind of a name that we've pledged allegiance to, but actually a daily influence in our lives through the Holy Spirit. Someone that we turn to more often than not. Prayer in this stage, as we said last week, prayer is a really important indicator of which stage we might find ourselves in, the way that we pray. In the listening stage, prayer becomes more listening than speaking. It becomes a lot less about pouring out address to God and saying, here's what I want to do, or here's what I need, or here's what someone in my life needs. And it becomes far more about laying those things open in front of him and then just being still and listening to what he has to say to us. In the listening stage, we become drawn to times or moments of solitude or meditating on scripture or listening through spiritual friendships that we've built and hearing the voice of God through the lives and the words of other people around us, experiencing the love of Jesus through worship and prayer in more powerful ways than we've experienced before. Often, the journey into the listening stage is full of powerful moments of knowing and loving and experiencing the love of Jesus, and then stepping back in fear and going, but is that really what I'm gonna live my life on? Am I really gonna live my life based on listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit? There's a little bit of a push and pull as we move through this series and begin to understand what it means to live every day fueled by the love of God. Again, it's not necessarily a fun stage. It's not a place that we sign up for and go, yes, this is where I wanna be. But it's a challenge, and it's an important challenge that the Lord wants to draw us through. One thing that's important to note in that stage is that certain tools for spiritual growth begin to become less effective as you move into the listening stage. So traditional small group environments or Bible studies or things that may have worked really, really well and shown us amazing changes in our lives during the learning stage don't really work as well. And one of the big ones is Sunday sermons, okay? So Sunday sermons become less effective, and the Sunday morning worship experience becomes less about being fed and less about getting input and more about spending time with Jesus through worship and through community. This stage is a slippery one. We can move forward and backward, but it's okay. It's a long, long road, and there's more after that. The Lord draws us into a stage that we're calling letting go. Following the listening stage, God draws us even deeper toward his heart. And in this final stage of the journey, letting go, we're drawn deeply into a place of loving union with God, what we talked about earlier. Through experiencing and knowing his love for us, we begin to completely let go of our personal agenda and our ego. We surrender all of our plans and our desires to the Lord. Every decision we make in concert with his heart. We begin seeing others through the eyes of Jesus and not through our eyes. So even our enemies, we begin seeing them as sons and daughters of God that he deeply loves, and it transforms the way that we treat people. When we serve, when we do things, whether it's in the church or in the community or in our families, it's not out of habit and it's not out of just pulling ourselves by the bootstraps and doing hard work. When we serve, it's natural. It's a natural outflow of that love of Jesus that's taken hold of us. During the letting go stage, Jesus is our deepest love in life, not just in name, not just as a trivia question, not just as, yes, I love Jesus, but honestly, if someone were to ask us, who is the deepest love in your life? Who is the person that you would hate to let go of the most? The instant answer for us is Jesus, and we mean it. Prayer in the letting go stage becomes an every moment resting in the love of Jesus. There's times where we set aside times for solitude and prayer, but more than that, in the letting go phase, everything becomes prayer. Every moment of every day, we're in communion, we're talking back and forth with our Heavenly Father and experiencing his love. And we're drawn to extended times of contemplation, just thinking about his love for us. And we're loving others in our lives out of an overflow of that love. So, that's the whole journey. Four building blocks that we go through, like we said in the first week, that's not linear. We stumble forward, we move back, this past week for me, I had a really terrible moment where I stumbled way back. And if you ask my wife about it, I was a complete basket case this week. We don't just keep moving up and up and up and up. It's a back and forth. It's messy. We go round and round. But when we zoom out and look at our entire lives, we go through this process, the looking stage, watching, observing, exploring Jesus, learning, observing all that we can, absorbing it through his word and through others, finding out how our lives can change dramatically. We move through the wall where we're drawn through the difficult process of surrendering our deepest heart's desires to him. We move into the listening stage where we begin to interact regularly with the living word and surrender to his love. Finally, letting go, where we let go of every aspect of our lives in response to one thing, his overwhelming love for us. Now, the reason why I'm showing you this, again, is not so that you can have a measuring stick. This is not for the perfectionists in the room, so that you can have one more thing that you're not doing right, okay? Lord knows, you do not need one more thing in your life that you're not doing right. That's not what it's about. And so as you look through this and you consider, where am I in this process? Again, this is about answering that question without judgment. And say, where am I, honestly? Because wherever you are is exactly where God wants you to be. And it's more to encourage us to say that no matter where you are in the journey, there's more. If you're in the looking stage, there's more. If you're in the learning stage, there's more. If you're at the wall, you are not forgotten. You are not abandoned. You are not crazy. There is more. If you're in the listening stage, there's more. And even if you're in the letting go stage, there is always a place that we can grow more deeply in love with Jesus. So first, what I want you to see and discern is that you are somewhere on this journey, somewhere. And wherever you are in this journey, there's more. No matter where you are in the journey, there's more. I want us to take just a moment and pray together and just ask the Lord if he would help us to see, just kind of like we did last week, where are we in this journey? Where's our home base? And for me, it's helpful to think about these stages as homes, places that we live. And we can visit different places from time to time. We can visit a stage that's ahead of us. We can visit a stage that's from our past. We can move forward and backwards. But our luggage is in a home. Our furniture is still in a home. Where is that for us? And is God calling us to further explore it, to learn more, to listen more, or is he calling us through the difficult process of stepping forward in his love?